Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, September 29th, my 9-year wedding anniversary, by the way. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. Today's secret password is donkey. Today's secret password is donkey. Don't share it in the chat room now. You might have a chance to win an awesome prize at the end of the show by getting here early. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then just come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable lifestyle. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. When you need an incubator, think Brinsey, the incubation specialists. Brinsey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brinsea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea. Technology you can trust.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is hump day, it is Wednesday, we're halfway through the work week, and Friday will be here before you know it, so just hunker down, we'll get there together sooner than not. It is now time to welcome my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisperer, it is a good day. I love Wednesdays. They have kind of a quality about them that is, it's just upbeat. It's almost like there's a pause in the middle of the week, and some fun things happen on Wednesdays. So for me, the fun things are the farmers markets, of course, and then I go over to the Healthy Foods Co-op and get a cup of coffee. So I've had my one cup a week, cup of coffee. So, of course, I'm feeling pretty frisky. I have to tell you, I am headed into the pharmacy this afternoon. I'm going to be working the bench, and just a little bit before 12:30, I'll have to sign off. So I ought to have a good signal up until then. And unfortunately, I'll have to miss part of the show today. I'll have to re-listen to it because I know it's going to be great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. Got the goats taken care of and the chickens and all done earlier, so they shouldn't have the goats were driving me a little crazy yesterday during the show, so I had to take a couple of minutes to go out and see what all was going on, but everything's taken care of and having a good day. We're several calls today getting ready for Chick Days next year with all with our sponsors and our friends, everybody I've talked to. The hatcheries and Tractor Supply and ManaPro and just about everybody is really, really gearing up for a huge Chick Days this coming 2011. They think it's going to be a really, really big year for poultry and backyard poultry. So we are definitely, definitely looking forward to it.
This is the spring Chick Days coming up, or is it going to have a fall one as well?
Most of them have already had the fall one, but we are. We are definitely, this will be for 2011. They're really, really, really getting geared up for it. Everybody across the country that I've talked to, and I'm not sure what they're seeing, or they just think, hey, because this has been going on and there's been a lot about it in the news, then we are definitely getting prepared. So, yeah, it's going to be big and great times this coming spring, and we're all working together to launch a good one with lots of our sponsors. So I'll keep you all posted on information as we can get it done. So also, speaking of that and what things that are coming up, Bird Health Awareness Week is coming up November 1st through the 7th. There's going to be a lot going on. We'll keep you up to date as things are announced. But specifically on Friday, November the 5th, that is election week, but Friday, November the 5th, there's going to be a nationwide webinar. Yours truly will be hosting that along with a USDA APHIS certified avian veterinarian who's going to be there, and it's going to be a live worldwide really webinar all about backyard poultry. And so I think I got the outline sometime about a month ago. We've been reviewing it. We've had conference calls about it, but we'll be sharing more information about actually how to tune in, how to watch. There's going to be apparently a PowerPoint presentation, and then you can call in and ask questions. This will be a nationwide event, and that's going to be Friday, November the 5th, to celebrate Bird Health Awareness Week. And so we've got that coming up, and lots of other great things. So they're I've been busy with that lately, as well as getting ready for, believe it or not, already Chick Days 2011 for all kinds of folks that are in the poultry industry. So I've been working on that, and I have some to do after the radio show with that as well. So definitely looking forward to that and getting things. I know you've got to head out early today. You said you got to leave about 12:30?
Yeah, that's right. Just going to be covered in the pharmacy, which has become almost my social time since I spend so much time in my office at home, writing and doing grants. Listen, with events coming up too, Whisper, I'd just like to remind folks that the Green Festival in Washington, D.C., it's October 25th and 26th. Oops, wait a minute, I've got the wrong calendar up. It's October 23rd and 24th, and on the Saturday at the Green Festival, I'll be at 1:30, I'll be giving a talk on urban chickens. So I know there's already a lot of interest evoked from this, and there's going to be some of the Prince George's County group and the D.C. hens that are all trying to get chickens legal in their areas. I know they're going to be there and maybe doing petitions. So at 1:30, anyone coming on over, I'll be glad to be thrilled to meet anyone and certainly see my little PowerPoint thing on urban chickens. It's about a 45-minute show. So that's my October coming up thing. Oh, the other thing, if I can just take a moment, is on October the 11th, I'll be in Asheville, in the Asheville area, collaborating with Back Home, and we're going to have a backyard chicken seminar. It'll be in the evening, about 7 o'clock, and just contact me or Back Home for more information about the location on that. So that's October 11th in the Asheville area, Asheville, sort of Hendersonville area. So that's my events news coming up. It's going to be an exciting fall. I mean, there's so much more interest coming right and left with the presentation. So I know both you and I are going to be really busy, and I know we both love it, absolutely love it. Go ahead.
Very cool. No, that's great. That's awesome. Look, you sound, we're both very busy, and lots of great events that are going on, and I'm sure there'll be more, and especially when spring gets here, we'll probably do another some type of Chicken Whisperer tour like we did last year. Boy, we hit Dallas and Nashville and Savannah, St. Louis, New York. We were just all over the place, and so maybe this coming up year in the spring we'll be doing some more things. We're also going to be starting, at least locally here, some more chicken swaps and small animal swaps at Tractor Supplies. I've got to get another one scheduled. We had a great time at the one we scheduled up near Chattanooga back in, I think it was July, and we're looking to have one here maybe towards the end of October, maybe the first part of November, and when the weather's a little bit more cool. But we're definitely looking forward to having one of those at a local Tractor Supply here in the outskirts of Atlanta doing that. But yes, I'm sure we'll stay busy, and we'll keep all of our listeners and fans and followers posted on where we'll be and what we're doing and what might interest them. Speaking of what might interest them, we do have some interesting chickens in the news today. Of course, Chickens in the News is sponsored by Meyer Hatchery. Meyer Hatchery up there in Polk, Ohio. We'll be broadcasting live from Meyer's again on November the 12th. That's a Friday. getting ready for Saturday the 13th at the Ohio National Poultry Show, largest poultry show in the country. So that every day, Meyer Hatchery sponsors our chickens in the news segment. Visit them online at meyerhatchery.com. This comes to us actually from treehugger.com. I thought it was very interesting, and I'm a big advocate of actually trying to educate people on what labeling really means on our egg cartons. What does organic really mean? What does free range really mean? What does cage free really mean? And this came, found this on the wire this morning. Shocking photos reveal organic eggs don't always come from happy hens. From Sammy Grover in North Carolina. Absolutely. It says a Southwest Wisconsin hen house raising young birds for Organic Valley. The house confines the animals, granting no outdoor access whatsoever, and provides virtually no natural light in the building. It on talks about, like many tree-hugging foodie types, I have been shocked by stories from unborn chickens injected with antibiotics and the horrific footage of conditions in a commercial chicken hatchery. And while I'm fully aware that organic standards are by no means perfect, I do not like to buy organic eggs when my own hens aren't laying enough. Secure in the knowledge that they will come from happier, healthier hens, or so I thought. The photo above is just one shocking example of conditions that many organic hens must endure, details of which are laid out in a damning new report. Luckily, consumers are in the perfect position to demand change. The Cornucopia Institute, a farming campaign group, has put together a comprehensive report called Scrambled Eggs, detailing the conditions in industrial-scale organic egg production. We posted this a couple of days ago on our Facebook page. Just visit us at facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. The report is the culmination of 2 years of research, which saw the group visit over 15% of the certified egg farms in the United States and survey name, brand, and private label industry marketers. Its findings demonstrate a huge problem between best practice husbandry exhibited by many small and medium-sized organic egg producers and the bare minimum standards followed by many of the industrial scale operations. And so it's a pretty long and detailed story. So we invite you to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, and read the whole thing. It is quite shocking, but it's funny. When me and Jen even go to the occasional, maybe once a week, we'll go buy Whole Foods, and to do a little shopping there. And we'll get a few things done there. But when we go by the egg aisle, we see all these people grabbing the free range, the higher and omega, all these things. And sometimes I'll stop and mention to somebody, but sometimes I'd like to set up a table there and educate people on what the labels really mean when you're buying organic or cage-free or free range. And I fell into this trap a long time ago where free range actually means you think in your mind lovely green pastures with beautiful colorful weeds growing around, a beautiful red and white barn in the background, and here's you know, violet and precious and petunia and ruby all just roaming free, like the Chariots of Fire, you know, theme in the background while they're roaming free through the pastures, always having a great time. And it's you can picture it, right? And it's just not the case at all. So I love to educate people about what that, even if it just says, look, when you get on, get home, get online, go to Google and type in true definitions of these, what these really mean. So this story actually talks about it, even meaning marked organic. So yeah, definitely go long, long detailed story regarding that. Other chickens in the news I want to share with you that this weekend, Saturday, October the 2nd, this weekend, Saturday, October 2nd, you can save big on animal supplies for at least one day only at your local Tractor Supply. And hang on just a second here. I'm going to try to give you a you can go to if you go to TractorSupply.com, you'll probably see it advertised there. But let me see if I can get over here and read a little bit more about this other than just telling you about it. They have a little video. We know how much you care about your animals, so we've created be to see these videos to watch and share with your friends. So they've got videos that are launching now, and they're having a great deal with the big Out Here with Animals event that they've got coming up this weekend. So we want you to stop by your local Tractor Supply. Give them a call first, because my understanding, I'm not sure if it's every single Tractor Supply on the planet, but a lot of them are taking advantage and are doing this for all of their customers. It is the Out Here with Animals day this coming Saturday, October the 2nd at your Tractor Supply. Call them, get more information about it. Go to their website, tractorsupply.com. I'm going to try to stop by one on my way up to Helen this weekend to visit with my dad. It's his birthday back on Sunday. And, of course, today is, like I said, our anniversary. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But stop by your local Tractor Supply. I'm going to probably on Saturday, one of the local ones, to see what's going on about Out Here with Animals. And they'll have lots of great things for you and on sale. The next thing I want to tell everybody about is that if you are on Facebook, like I guess 500 million people are on Facebook, and you're a poultry lover, and encourage all of us who follow us on Facebook there, that you can go now to Manna Pro Poultry. They have a Facebook page, and I've posted that on my Facebook page. So just share the love. So we want to make sure that you actually do that and go to Facebook.com and then search for Manna Pro Poultry and join them there. They're going to have lots of information and educational information there, and Chickens in the News as well. So we hope you do that. And last thing I encourage you to go to Facebook is that we have a really cool article here that we posted. Lots of great comments. It's called The Nog. The Nog is a modern... There it is. The Nog is a modern prefab pod pad for your chickens. And it's very, very interesting. It actually looks like an egg. It's made out of cedar. It's very modern looking. And it's really getting a lot of comments. Some like it, some hate it, some love it, some don't. But it's really, really interesting. You can see that on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Do you have any news for us today, Pat, on your end?
Well, I do. I have just an announcement. This comes from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy in their latest newsletter, and that is that the breed consensus projects are now underway. And this was written by our very own Jeanette Barringer, who joins us once a month to talk about the Livestock Breeds Conservancy. And it's just an announcement saying that monitoring the census of a breed is an important registry function. It's for all breeds and for all, I mean, chickens, cows, bunnies, whatever livestock breed that is a heritage breed, and they're especially critical. I mean, they're absolutely, totally critical for the rare breeds because the rare breeds are ones that run considerable risk of a rapid and then sometimes a really serious number depletion and a critical loss of bloodlines, and this can happen over a really short time. So they've got their watch list, and then the critical breeds are the ones that we really want to keep track of. The trends must be monitored as an ongoing process to avoid being surprised by sudden, unanticipated changes. And there are now several breed associations and clubs. And again, if it's a Dominique club or whatever club it might be, we're thinking about in our county starting a little breed census, just so we know who's got what. And that's just in our local county. But anyway, one of the things that they ask is that the plan is for the census to become an annual event, and the ALBC would like to coordinate with any club that's also taking breeds consensus so that they can work to, of course, consolidate the numbers and really get an idea in what's going on. One example that they use, of course, is the Buckeye, which has been a huge success. They did a breed census for that and found out that they are they're doing so much better, and they're making a very good comeback from being almost totally gone. If any of the breed associations is interested in conducting an annual census of their breeds, please contact the American Livestock Breed Conservancy, and specifically our very own Jeanette Barringer, and the number there is 919-542-5705, 919-542-5704. And you can also contact them through their website. It's albc-usa.org, O-R-G, albc-usa.org. So that's about all the news I've got here, Whisper. And at this point, I'm going to have to slide out, kind of exit exit the poultry portal, so to say. Yeah, I know. I hate to, but it's that day job. You know, I got to keep the cash flow coming too. So, as always and forever, may I say, may the flock be with you all. And with that, I'll just bid adieu. So have a great time, and I'll certainly be tuned in tomorrow.
All righty, Pat, we're going to miss you. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for that bit of news. Always glad to support the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy there and all that information. So you drive very careful.
Oh, I'm here. I'm just ready to slide right in and put on that lab jacket. So, okay,
gotcha.
God bless everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All righty, folks. Thank you so much for Pat for joining us today. As always, my wonderful co-host, Pat Forman, author and poultry advocate, full of wonderful, wonderful knowledge, even though she really doesn't like tilling, and I love to till. We'll cut her some slack on that. We love you, Pat. All righty, we're going to go ahead and go to a short commercial break. When we come back, you're in for a treat. Get that pen and paper ready, because today is a special episode, Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Peter joins us regularly on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month. Is Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown, but today being it has the fifth Wednesday of the month, then he's graciously joined us today, and we're going to be talking all about rodent control, how we can control that, and it's not a rampant problem, I guess maybe unless you're a commercial egg farm, but I'm not going to even go there, but because we saw that in the news just recently about rodents and rodent feces and in the feed and whatnot. But when we come back, I'll talk a little bit about rodent, because that's something that a lot of people like to throw out there when we're fighting for backyard poultry in urban areas. Chickens attract mice and rats, and that is a false statement. So we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, I'll sound off on that. Then we'll bring on Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor with First State Vet Supplies. So stay with us, folks. We got a great show today. Get your pen and paper ready.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry: feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's a special fifth Wednesday episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Peter is the founder of First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. Take advantage of their chicken consultation with Peter Brown. It's just $25 if you have an injured or sick bird and there's no avian vets around your area, no vets that even would take a look at a chicken or can't make the 100-mile drive to the closest one, or it's quite urgent, then you can give him a call. Just go to firststatevetsupply.com. All righty, it's now time to go to the phone lines and welcome Peter Brown to the show. Welcome, Peter.
Hey, Andy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, doing great. I woke up and I didn't see dirt, so that's a great thing, and I'm in a pretty good mood. I'm feeling pretty good, and we've got a great show lined up for everybody today. I just want to say very quickly around rodent control and whatnot, people will hear this show and see, I told you, chickens attract rodents and mice. And so we hear that a lot when we go across the country and fight for our rights to keep chickens in our own backyards. And so just like Dr. Bridget McRae says, when she hears people say chickens attract rodents and mice, totally unfounded, totally undocumented. Chickens themselves do not attract mice and rodents and rats. They are attracted to a food source, whatever that may be, and a water source, whatever that may be. And so, yes, they are attracted to the chicken feed, just like they would be attracted to wild bird feed. If you have a wild bird feeder or several wild bird feeders in your yard, that can be a food source. The back porch, right outside the back porch where you have the cat food dish, the dog food dish, yes, guess what? That is a food source for rats and mice and rodents, just like maybe a chicken feeder. So there's no different whether you have a chicken feeder out back or a bird feeder out back or a dog bowl out back. Same thing with water. They're attracted to a water source. Your chicken waterer can be a water source for rats and rodents, just like that potted plant on your back deck that looks so nice that you water or gets rain. It has the little reservoir at the bottom. That can be a water source just for rats and mice as well. So if you want to use that as, oh, we need to ban chickens because their food and water attracts mice and rats, that's fine. But then you're going to have to ban potted plants on the back deck. You're going to have to ban wild bird feeders in your front and backyard that also. And you're going to, I guess, have a law that says you can't put your cat and dog dish out behind on the back deck either, because all of those do the same thing. So that's my two-cent rant when I go around town and hear people talk about chickens attracting rodents and whatnot, but it's the food source and water source, and that's my two-cent rant. But today you're going to tell us many different ways of how we can control that if it happens to be a problem, other than just keeping our food in metal containers. If you happen to do keep your food outside, we're fortunate enough to have an indoor sunroom where we have our food and whatnot. We do have the metal trash cans and actually a storage bin outside when we choose to keep it outside, but that's just one more step for us versus keeping it in our sunroom right next to the back door so it's rodent-free. But that's one way. But you're going to tell us other ways to, number one, prevent them, and, of course, ways to handle them if we actually see them out there and how we see them out there. So, Peter, welcome to the show. And, folks, want to make sure you get your pens and paper to write all these great notes down from Peter Brown.
Yeah, Andy, to counter the chickens attract rats and mice thing, I'm in total agreement with you. There is no research to show that chickens themselves attract rodents of any kind. In actuality, if we could ban people a little bit, it's people that cause the problem. What happens is that while the rodents, rats, and/or mice look for a food source and/or a water source, they're mostly, in the beginning, looking for a habitat, a place to hang out, a place to set up shop. So if you are one of those people that's providing it by providing water and food, and then you've got wood stacked up all over the yard or things laying around where they can burrow under and build their nests in the ground and then come up and eat your food or whatever, but it can also come from your neighbor. You know, if your neighbor's got a two cords of wood out in the back lot that have been out there for a good while, I can almost guarantee you that if there aren't chipmunks in there, there are rodents of some description, whether they be rats or and or mice. So it isn't that the chickens will attract them. It's the things that people do more so that allow them to come into being in your yard, your neighborhood. Just because you don't have chickens in the backyard doesn't mean that you don't have or can't have rodents of some description, whether it be rats or mice or whatever. So I'm in total agreement with what you're saying. But I'm a believer in a couple of things. If you're building a new chicken coop, you want to build the rats and the mice out. That's the first line of defense that I can tell people about. And that is that a rat can get through a space of about a half an inch and a mouse about a quarter of an inch. So you want to make your building real tight. If you've got these trap doors that open up, swing up to the outside of the building, and you close them up at night and they've got gaps all around them, then get yourself some sheet metal and put that over that so that when that door is down, it's tied up against the building and doesn't give them a route of entry. So those are some of the things that people can do that way. No gaps under the door, over the door, the side of the door, windows that have no screening on them or very little screening on them. You want to make sure that you do those things. But I call it build them out. If you build the facility from the ground up, thinking about rodent control at the same time, don't let them in, you're less likely to have the problem. The other part about this thing is any good general in any war has always become victorious by knowing the enemy well. And I think the same thing applies here. Once you know how the enemy operates, which would be the rats and or the mice, you know who they are, where they are, how to find them, and what signs to look for, and what their habits are, on a daily basis, you can defeat them rather quickly. It doesn't matter if you have an infestation that's just a one family or you've got multiple families of rodents living on your property. So people would go around and check their property and keep things up off the ground. If you've got a pile of wood out back, get it up off the ground, at least 12 inches off the ground so that you can see if there's an infestation starting. You don't want to wait until it gets full-blown and becomes a problem, and that kind of thing. But I think what you have to understand is how they operate. So we can start there. Rats generally will travel the same pathway day in and day out, okay? So you can look around the barnyard. You can look around the coop itself. If it's in your home, you can look in there. But what you'll generally see is the oil and or the hairs and what we call smudge marks that they will leave over a period of time going from one spot to another. So those are some of the things you can look for there. I've already said they can basically go through an opening, a rat about a half inch and a mouse about a quarter of an inch. So you want to do the same thing in a home that you would do in a coop. You want to try to take away their supply of food. And water is not such a big issue. Water has been kicked around for years and years and years. The average rat will drink about 1 ounce of water a day. And mice are just the opposite. They rarely ever drink. They don't need it to survive. As a general rule, from their food, they get enough water from that, so they don't need a ready water source. They obviously need water to survive, but they don't have to have a source of it in order for them to go out and drink whatever they eat. As a general rule, they will pick up what they need from that. Rats can gnaw through, a lot of people have said rats can gnaw through concrete. Concrete that's been hardened and cured isn't going to happen. It's improperly cured concrete that rats can generally gnaw through. Bricks, cinder block, wood, aluminum sheeting, because the metal is soft enough, they can make their way through that. So knowing all of these things, when you use something, you want to make sure that if you're building them out, you want to make sure that you're going to use materials that are going to prevent them from making their way back in. They're omnivores, lead anything, including their own. If a rodent population within a colony becomes too large, they will turn on their own. If there are babies present, they will kill them. And if the dominant rat within the colony sees fit and there's too many of them, they'll try to drive them out of the colony. And if that doesn't suffice, then they will actually bite off the testicles of the other males within the colony so they can't reproduce. They try not to reproduce outside of the available food supply. So as we talked about earlier, limiting that food supply is essential. They're nocturnal, meaning they come out at night. Another way to prevent these guys from getting started in your coop is take up all your food and water at night. If the birds have made a mess and got a lot of food on the floor or the bedding, clean it up as best you can. Don't leave much behind for them, and you can stop them from getting started in the first place. Rats cannot vomit. I think it's another nice little thing to know. So when you feed them these rodenticides, and we'll talk about those in a little bit, once they eat it, they're done. They can't regurgitate it up. While it's been also talked about rats being good swimmers, as a general rule, they're not big fans of running around in the water. They'll swim if they have to. And their limit's about roughly somewhere around a half a mile, give or take. I guess it depends on the overall size of the rat and how old it is at the time it's got to do that. Very, very good climbers. So there's another way of taking things away from them. They will be able to work their way along water lines, work their way along electrical lines that are hanging and that kind of stuff. Very, very agile, very easy for them to get along there. So the best thing you can do is to put guards over those things if it's at all possible. I don't know if they do it so much today, but years ago when ships traveled the world and went to port, once they threw the lines over the side and they were secured to the dock, they would put on those lines what were called rat guards, big round pieces of metal that were curved away from the ship so that the rats could not get up and over it and climb the lines and infest the ship. So there are ways to do all of these things. The other thing about them is that they have excellent memory. So once they have found a food source, they will continue to go to that food source, and they only have to go there once or twice before they have it memorized. Rats will visit a food source anywhere from 3 to 5 times an evening, where mice are much more curious and will visit the food source once they do find it anywhere from 20 to 30 times per evening. So that you might see a lot more activity with your mice than you will with your rats. Another thing about rats, very poor vision. Generally, if you take a rat that's died and you take a look at it, you'll see the fur on the body, but you'll also see these other hairs that are longer. They're called prehensile hairs. and they use those to help guide themselves as they run down a wall. When you usually see them, they'll be bouncing off of a wall. They don't go generally in a perfectly straight line because they're basically not capable of because of their poor eyesight. They are colorblind, so whatever color traps and or base stations you put out will mean nothing to them. But on the other hand, they do have a well-developed sense of smell, touch, and taste. From that standpoint, they live about anywhere from 2 to 3 years. They don't travel long distances from their nests to the food source. So probably 100 to 150 feet. Now, all of these numbers that are thrown out and bandied about, they can change because of the fact that if food source becomes less available, you're going to find that they're not going to they're not going to stay home starved to death. They're going to go out and they're going to find that food source. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the thing, being a good general, knowing the enemy, and knowing what they do, how they act, and how they're going to react. I mentioned they have a good sense of smell. In that, you don't want to touch the bait. Whenever you bait for rodent control, what you want to do is put on a pair of throwweight rubber gloves and put your bait out and just not touch it. What they do is once they sense a human has actually touched the bait, they have a tendency to urinate on it then, and that's a signal to the rest of the rats and what have you not to consume it. And they'll just sit there, it'll be soiled, and the bait will be wasted. When you're looking for symptoms or signs, rather, of rodents, you're going to want to look for the rub sites that we talked about a little bit ago where they run down a wall and leave their hair and oil on the side of the wall. And generally, if it's been there long enough, it'll start to turn black, and it'll be quite obvious to you what's going on. The other thing is gnaw marks. You'll see where they've been chewing on some things and so on and so forth. You can look for outside of your building, look for their trails and vegetation alongside the walls of the building. You can look for holes in the walls. If there's dust, which I haven't seen a chicken house yet that didn't have dust in it, you can see their footprints. You can see the tail dragging signs where their tail is dragged along the ground and the dirt and so on and so forth. One of the places we see a lot of rodent gnawings around moldings and door frames.
Yep.
I don't know why. I know out of my place loaded with gray squirrels, and they just love the molding around the doors. I don't understand it, but they do. The other thing is to look for their habitat, where they're living. Where are they living on your premise? Got to be somewhere. So if they're in your chicken coop, probably not more than 150 feet, probably a lot closer. So what you're going to do is turn over an old bucket, an old wheelbarrow that's upside down, a piece of plywood that's been laying out back for a year or whatever. And more than likely, you're going to find their burrow under that or alongside of that or under your chicken coop or someplace like that. Generally, the burrows are not very deep. Somewhere between a foot and 2 foot underground. So they're not very large. They're not very deep. Not usually longer than 3 to 4 feet in length. The diameter of the hole depends on the size of the colony, but generally anywhere from 3 inches on up to 10 inches to a foot. So those are some of the things you can look for. The enemy at hand, which is the rodent that's going to eat up your chicken feed and so on and so forth. Then you have to ask yourself the question, why are we bothering with all of this? And they don't eat a lot. They only eat an ounce a day. We want to control them not so much because of what they eat. It's what they destroy in the process. There are all kinds of numbers that have been kicked around over the years, but it's been said that rodents nationwide account for well over $1 billion worth of destroyed property grains, stuffs, and so on and so forth. And I'm sure the number is even higher than that. It's a very difficult number to actually be very accurate with. And basically, the type of rats that we would be dealing with for the most part in the United States is the Norway rat. It's the most common worldwide. There are roof rats, but they're a little bit different, have a little bit different way of living. So I'm really only covering the Norway rats at this point.
Okay.
But you'll know them when you see them, 7 to 10 inches long, anywhere from they can be 8 to 10 inches, 10 ounces in weight, and as high as 17 ounces. I've seen some personally that ran around 20 ounces. Depends on the food source. Again, the more food, kind of like humans in a way, can't push away from the table until the belly pushes you away. So kind of like the same thing there. Now, the Norway rat, they're not as good a climber as the roof rat, but they're better swimmers. Okay, but that still doesn't mean that they want to run out in your swimming pool and take a swim around the pool. It's only when they're forced to do so will they do that. They burrow extensively and live inside of those burrows and then come out at night to tear up your chicken coop and what have you. I have seen many years ago when I had the opportunity to do some work for a major poultry breeder when I lived in New York State, and they will come and at night, and they will nibble on the legs of the birds as they're roosting.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us know that you can do darn near anything you want to a chicken that's gone to roost in the middle of the night, and they would actually do quite a bit of damage to their legs when they had gone to roost. They average 4 to 6 litters per year. The young are called pups. They usually are weaned anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks of age. The interesting part is when those pups reach about 6 weeks of age, they can be bred. And so it doesn't take long, for these rodents to really take off on you and get a real sizable population going. These pups are blind at birth, and they don't get out of the nest for quite a while. So lots of times you'll see them, and they call them pinkies lots of times. They have a very strong social network. And it's the biggest rats that get the best food and the best places to stay. They'll run the others off, like I had said before. I don't know if anybody's got any questions, or you're getting any questions from about that before we move on to some of the rat baits and that kind of thing. And
yeah, a lot of them have to do with that, about how they can get rid of the rats. And the mice without having to really harm their chickens and worry about traps and worry about poisons and things like that. But I have heard stories firsthand where the rats would come up and eat the toes off the chickens while they were sitting on the roost. And I've heard several stories actually about that. So most of the questions that are coming in, I'm sure you'll probably cover in the next segment. So we'll take a short break, and we come back. We'll continue about rodent control now that we know all about the enemy, like you say, which is great advice, and kind of know what they do, why they do it, and how they act. And then we'll learn about how to stop them and prevent them in the next segment. So today we're talking with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. He is the founder of First State Vet Supply. Visit them online, firststatevetsupply.com. We'll be back right after this short break.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins,
wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supplies' Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. When you need an incubator, think Brinsey, the incubation specialists. Brinsey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brinsea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea. Technology you can trust.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's a special fifth Wednesday episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Peter's the founder of First State Vet Supply. Visit them online, firststatevetsupply.com. And welcome back, Peter. It looks like we may actually have a hang on. Let me get my switchboard running. There you go. Now you're back live, Peter. Looks like we have a caller who may want to ask a question on the topic, so we're going to go to the phone lines real quick before we move on to the next segment. And this is a caller calling in from area code 318. Area code 318, if you'll state your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Anna Bryant. I am calling from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yeah, thank you for listening today. And you have a question for the chicken doctor, Peter Brown.
Yeah, I do. My husband and I are, I don't want to say new with this. We've been doing this for a couple of years. We have a chicken coop. Mm-hmm. They're contained. We have a couple of roosters, and they like to take advantage of my hens quite often. And I've noticed that we have one hen in particular that my roosters are constantly copulating with. So much so that she's lost all the feathers on her back, and she actually developed a wound. And so I went to our co-op and I bought some stuff that the person there said would help to heal the wound. But is she sickly? I mean, they're mating with her. I mean, the poor thing, we go out to feed them. She comes out to eat, and we have four roosters, and in a period of 2 minutes, all four roosters will mate with her a couple of times, and they don't go after the other hens. Is there something wrong with her?
She's just one of those hens that is subordinate. It's the pecking order, and probably what I would do is I would get some these pinless peepers and put them on the roosters to see if it doesn't slow that down. The only other option you have is take her out of there, but I've seen it many, many times. It's a thing where she's subordinate to the rest of them, and ducks do this. Mallard ducks are about the worst. They will just continually breed a female until she dies. And,
yeah, I mean, her wound got pretty severe, and so for a while we have a separate little pen where when we get chicks, we keep them in there until they're large enough to put with the rest of the chickens.
How many roosters do you have?
We have four roosters.
How many hens do you have?
About eight.
You've got an overabundance of roosters. You need to get rid of three roosters to start with. Usually,
I told my husband that, but he just seems to think that it'll be okay. There's enough hens to go around.
Nope, there's not. There's too many roosters, and you've got usually it's 1 to 10. Depends on what you want to do, but you know some people do a little bit more. But you've got way too many roosters and not enough willing hens. It looks like. They end up being bullies is what they end up being, and the only way to do it is eliminate the bullies. I think once you take out the most aggressive roosters and leave the most docile one back, I think the whole thing will probably go away. As far as her wound is concerned, keep them from breeding her, and some triple antibiotic ointment probably be just fine.
Yeah, we did that, and he also bought the gentleman at the co-op recommended. There's this stuff that you can put in their water. It's basically antibiotics.
Yeah, probably didn't do anything for it. It's a soft tissue wound, and anything that would really do anything that you could get for her would not be a water soluble. She probably gave you Duramycin 10 or something like that, which is a very, very weak product to start with, and it doesn't get out to the soft tissues. It's a respiratory drug more than anything else.
Okay. Now, I do have another question. My hens are finally, it's taken them a while, but they're finally starting to nest on their eggs. And my husband left some eggs in there for a couple of weeks, and he pulled one out, and it was developing. But it's getting a bit cold. And so I told my husband, you know, we're about to start getting into the chillier months, and I don't necessarily think they're leaving the eggs out there. Would they survive the winter if we let the eggs develop at this point, or should we put them into an incubator? And if we put them into an incubator, once they do hatch, can we put them back in, and will a hen take them in, or do we have to keep them separate?
I don't think the hen will care one way or another for the most part. I don't understand what you mean by, you know, will the eggs survive out there? If the hen's going to sit on them, you don't need anything else. She'll take care of them. Generally, generally a good hen won't even get off of them, hardly ever. Just depends on how cold it's going to get where you are. You know,
and, well, see, we have those boxes. We have those boxes where you put where the hens, you know, nest and everything.
Mm-hmm.
My roosters take them out. They want to be in there.
I think what you need to do before you
do anything else and get rid of some roosters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, before you hatch one more chicken of any description, you need to get rid of three roosters. Period.
Okay.
And you're doing your hens a great disservice by keeping those characters around.
And see, we have one that's really dominant. But he's the big, white, pretty, gorgeous one.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some, I believe they're called bantams. They're the real colorful ones that have the feathers that come out of their tail. They're just real long and they drag behind them. I think those are bantams. I know we have Rhode Island Reds. Those are all my hens.
Mm-hmm.
And my other three roosters, they're really docile. They will mate with her. They won't mate with any of the other ones. But I have that one rooster that's really aggressive. He has to be the first one to go? Or should I keep an aggressive rooster in the coop?
If he's a super aggressive rooster, I would probably, in my opinion, I'd probably get rid of him. But if he's, depends on what you're trying to accomplish with him. If you're looking at a breeding program for showing or whatever, you know, I don't know. You haven't stated what your objectives are, really.
Our objective is just to have a coop so that I can have my own eggs, my own fresh organic eggs. We do the coop, we do the garden, we do all that sorts of stuff. And I like, you know, nowadays kids really don't get the opportunity to, and they're so addicted to television and video games and whatnot. And my kids have the opportunity. I mean, we don't have much land, but we do have enough so that we can have the coop and whatnot. The kids get to go and they get to help out in the coop and whatnot. I want them to learn, but unfortunately at this point, all they're seeing are the roosters take advantage of the hens.
Right. I'll chime in here, and Peter, I'll just chime in here basically and say that if you are only looking at insect control, fertilizer for your garden,
yes,
composting abilities and fresh eggs,
yes,
get rid of all your roosters. You don't need them. There's no need. We've got 35 hens here. That's what we're looking for. We don't want baby chicks running around. We don't need them for protection because we do what we can as chicken owners to protect them with poultry netting and good fencing and whatnot. So we don't need a rooster for protection. We don't want baby chicks. So if you don't have a protection issue and you don't want baby chicks, there's absolutely no need at all to have any roosters around. We've had the occasional rooster here just from a rescue or someone who, you know, neighbors were complaining. We took it in until we could find a home for it. But Jen and I don't keep roosters. There's no need. We have no need for a rooster because we protect them with what we can do as chicken owners, and we don't want baby chicks running around. And so we have no roosters at all. It sounds like your main goal that you just described, that you don't need any roosters there either your main goal is. So. Mm-hmm.
And no rooster, that won't affect egg production whatsoever?
None. Actually, it'll ruin your egg production,
yes,
soon.
Right.
Oh, really?
You don't need a rooster except for mating purposes if you want to hatch chicks. If you're not interested in hatching chicks, just like Andy said, I'd get rid of all of them. It doesn't seem like
that's
the
idea.
And in most cases, the hens will. In most cases, hens will lay better if they don't have a rooster disrupting their routine. They'll probably live a more calm life. They'll probably enjoy life a little better, and they'll probably lay better because of it.
Well, you know what? It is fantastic that I get to tell my husband when he gets home from work today that I spoke to the chicken whisperer and the chicken doctor, and they told me I've got permission and advice that I was right. So y'all are wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for
calling.
You've made a life, and that is a fantastic thing. So thank you.
Thank you very
thank
much
you.
For calling. Absolutely.
Yeah, have a
very good. Hey, great call there. Lots of information was talked about, and we appreciate her calling in and listening today. It's always great to help folks out when they need it. 18 minutes left, and we want to get back to, and I only need about 4 minutes of that for the contest today. And so that leaves us about 12 minutes, Peter. I'm not even going to go to commercial break for you to continue about how to get rid of and prevent, now that we know the characteristics and the thinking patterns of the mice and rats. Let's talk about how eliminating them.
Well, for those that are not interested in baits, the best way is a trap of some sort, whether that be the spring trap that you put bait on, or it be a live trap that allows the rodent to get inside the trap, and then you have to dispose of them afterward. But those are the only, well, glue boards would be the other thing that you could use. If you're going to use any of these types of traps, you want to make sure that you, for mice that do not venture far from their living quarters, their habitat, you're going to want to put that very close to where they live, and probably no more than 10 feet away. But you would use that basically for mice and so on. The glue boards, it's another thing. If people can deal with the fact that, you know, you're live trapping them in the glue board, and you're using these other one way in and no way out traps, that you still have to dispose of them afterward. I'm not big fans of either one, because rodents, one of the other reasons we want to control them is that they do spread many, many diseases, too numerous to even go into in the point we have, time we have left. But still in all, Salmonella being the biggest one that they do spread, that we all can identify with pretty easily. So the glue boards, the live traps, the spring trap is not so bad. If you're going to use the spring trap, you can put it in place close to where they are running back and forth and that kind of thing. They may ignore it for a few days, so sometimes it would be good to put the trap there without setting it, and put some bait on it so that they can very easily go and take the bait and become comfortable with it. And once they become comfortable with it after 2-3 days, and you see that they're taking the bait regularly, you can rebait it, set it, and you know, you'll start your program. It takes much longer to do it this way than it does with rodenticides, with the poison type baits. The other thing is, if the rodent is really damaged and it leaves a lot of blood and what have you on the trap, you're probably going to have to use another trap in its place. Baits that you can use, just about anything. Peanut butter is good. Bacon. Any type of mixture of grains, small grains that you want to put together, even with some peanut butter and those kinds, can kind of use your imagination, at least darn near anything, as long as it's clean. Getting into the rodenticides themselves, these are very, very powerful. The newer generations, if I want to clear up another little myth real quick. Years ago, everybody used Decon. The base in Decon was warfarin, okay? Just to give you an example of how powerful these are. Now, warfarin was an interesting product because the rodents could eat it today and maybe eat all that you put out, and it won't kill them because it has to be a cumulative thing with them. And so you forget to bait tomorrow and you don't bait for another week, the warfarin wears off. You're doing nothing but feeding them. So stay away from any of the warfarin-based baits. If they're out there still, they're cheaper than the newer baits that are available. But in a study that I saw years ago, the warfarin-baited rats had to eat 37 grams of the warfarin rodenticide in order to achieve kill. With the newer type rodenticides, because of the way they're anticoagulants, most of them, one is not, and I'll go over that real quick in a minute, but it takes 0.2 grams one time. That's a one-time feeding, and it's not a quick kill. That's another thing you need to bring out. If you kill these rodents too quickly, they catch on to it. You might remember I said in the beginning they're pretty smart. Well, they are. If you kill them too quick, That's why the old zinc phosphate didn't work all that well. You'd kill a few rodents, but once they caught on to it, they'd stop eating it. So the same thing here. For the newer rodenticides, it takes 3 to 5 days, sometimes as long as 7 days, depending on the size of the rat. But they don't need to eat a lot of it in order to succumb to the rodenticide. Two that I happen to like that I think are good and they're readily available. I did want to say one thing about on the meetup site. There was a discussion a couple of weeks ago about rodenticides, and a woman bought some product from some rodenticide place, and she was very happy with it. And the name brand on it was Talon, spelled T-A-L-O-N. And she said on the site, and anybody wants to go look it up, she said she paid about $35 a pound. I would like everybody who's listening today to pay me $35 a pound. I will send you a pound of Talon. That's ridiculous price-wise. The price is much lower. Talon is the name brand professional rodenticide. And there's no difference in the quality of theirs nor the killing power of theirs compared to the one you can buy at the feed store. And next week you'll be able to buy it on my website because I'm making a section for rodenticides. But the killing agent in the Talon or Havoc product is called Brodifacom, spelled Brodifacom. It's been around for a long time. I was first introduced to that product and actually sold it under the trade name Ropax, R-O-P-A-X, which is no longer available, which is just a brand name. But they all had the same killing agent. And back then, it was back in the mid-'80s, a little after the mid-'80s. And I get my knowledge about rodents from having gone to rodent school back then. And plus, they're interesting. It's so potent, this stuff, that what you're looking at is 0.005% rodenticide being, and everything else is an inert ingredient in the bait itself. So that's what I was saying before. It's a very, very powerful product. The other thing, if you want to, I will have... if people want to get the, there's two bait stations that you can make yourself. I have the plans made up and drawn up very nicely.
That was exactly our next question. Someone had put bait has to go out at night and then get it back up before daylight. But there are the stations that you were talking about making, PVC pipe and woods, which you're getting into now, because that's one issue about the baits and whatnot is, well, wait, I don't want my chickens to get this, and I don't want my chickens to get its head in a trap and this and that and the other. So, yeah, take notes on this, folks. Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, well, you can make a simple rodenticide feeder or bait station, whichever way you want to call it, out of PVC pipe. You can use basically any size over an inch and a half in diameter. And I will have that in I believe it's a PDF file. So if you want to send me an email at chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com, I'll be glad to forward that on to you. And also one where you use a piece of 1x6 catty corner up against the wall. And we have that all laid out for you, how you should do it, how it should be secured, all of this. And a very nice presentation for you. It should be easy to understand, and it's free. It's not going to cost you anything. But it's up to you as the guardian of those chickens to make sure that you put these rodenticides out properly. And if you're not going to be able to look after them in that fashion, then I would suggest that you go to traps and stay away from the baits. You can buy commercial bait stations in most stores. I have no idea what the price is on those kinds of things, but these are two that you can certainly make yourself. The main thing when you're baiting is to keep the bait fresh, keep it clean, and never let the bait station run out of bait. So they're very easy to make. Anybody can do it. You know, with the PVC pipe, you need a hacksaw, basically, and some glue, and you're ready to roll. The other rodenticide that I like is one that is based on vitamin D3, and what it does is it overloads the rodent's system with calcium, and it actually takes the forces of calcium out of the bones into the bloodstream, and they die from hypercalcemia. And the name of that product is, you can find it under the brand name Rampage, R-A-M-P-A-G-E. And the active ingredient in that is called cocalciferol, and I'll spell that for you, C-H-O-L-E-C-A-L-C-I-F-E-R-O-L. And, again, death there, 3, 4, 5 days. It's a... Once they start eating this stuff and they do consume a lethal dose, they do stop eating. And with neither one of these is water going to be an issue. With the brodifacome or the cocalciferol, they do not need water. The brodifacome product is an anticoagulant. It'll cause the capillary blood vessels to burst and they end up bleeding internally. And it'll cause blood to leach from their veins inside their body and that kind of thing. But once they get that lethal dose, they're done. And it's up to you then every day to search wherever you have this problem to pick up the dead carcasses. I urge you to either burn them or bury them and certainly use some plastic gloves and some common sense when you're picking these things up. They do carry diseases and... You know, you wouldn't want them around. Don't leave them around. Let your chickens eat them, that kind of thing. I personally don't think that if a chicken ate one of these that there would be enough in there to actually kill them, but I don't have the evidence to prove that. So the prudent thing to do is to keep it cleaned up. If you see them around and they're dying inside, outside, pick them up and get them out of there. Just to recap real quick, take up your food and water at night, clean up any spilled food anywhere. If you're keeping your chicken feed in a plastic container, change it to metal with a good tight top on it. Keep them out. Build them out. Don't let them get in. Don't let them get started. And rodents and chickens don't attract the rodents. They're probably in your neighbor's yard and come to your place looking for a food source. That's just generally what it is, but it has nothing basically to do with chickens. That's about all I've got.
Perfect. Well, that's a lot of great information. We really appreciate you coming on, as always. Peter, and so we'll see you back here, I guess, in a couple of weeks. We've got the first Wednesday, the Living Garden. We'll have you back on the second Wednesday of October, right back here, with some more great educational information about keeping poultry the right way. So visit Peter's website. It's firststatevetsupply.com. You can get a lot of the things he talked about today. You can give him a call. He does the consultation if you have sick or injured chicken. All of his products come with the correct doses for backyard birds and poultry, so what a great bonus that is. So that's firststatevetsupply.com. Peter, thank you very much for joining us. Another great topic, lots of great information, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, Andy, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. All righty, folks, very, very quick, 4 minutes left. If you signed on early today and know today's secret password, give us a call. 347-637-3237, and we never got around to having a Facebook page contest yesterday, so you're going to win the eggcartons.com Braveheart poster. That's a $30 value, and it is a beautiful one, great for the workshop, great for the sunroom, great for your office. It's the biggest one that they carry, and it is a $30 value. It's the Braveheart poster. It was the cover of their catalog last year. And it is. We got lots of comments on our website regarding that scene and that picture. So $30 value, 347-637-3237. We'll take caller number five. Caller number five, if you know today's secret password. The password was given at the beginning of the show when we were doing the introduction of the show. And so if you know that secret password, how simple is that? Sign on to the radio show, get the secret password, and you can win some awesome prizes. And 347-637-3237, caller number five. If you know today's secret password, you'll get that awesome $30 value poster, and it is a doozy. We'll take a very, very quick commercial break. We'll come back and see if we can't get a winner today.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more.
Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supplies' Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
All righty, and we had a request there. The website for Peter, in case you missed any of that information he was giving, some of the websites he was giving, some of the doses he was giving, some of the poisons that he was talking about that he actually may carry, that's firststatevetsupply.com. 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 Go and visit them. You can get his phone number right off of there. You can have a consultation with him. You can call him, ask any questions about today's topic, and get all kind. You can see all of his products that he has for sale there as well. So we had a request for that in the chat room. Let me head over here to the switchboard, and we're going to go live right now to we'll see if we have a winner today. All righty, caller number 5, you are on the air calling in from area code 847. 847, if you'll state your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hi, Andy. My name is Ed. I'm calling from Illinois.
Hey, Ed. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing good, doing good. And appreciate you listening. Appreciate you participating in the contest. And you're calling because you know today's secret password. And if you'll tell us that password, if it's correct, you've won this great prize from eggcartons.com.
Yeah, there was a little static hit when you mentioned it both times, but I believe it's donkey. Either donkey
that is
or
correct.
Doggy. Yep.
It, was, it was donkey, absolutely. I couldn't really use ass on the radio. Oops, did I just say that? But yet, you are correct. It is it is donkey, and mainly because I have
commercial.
My... You're right, exactly. You're right,
yeah.
Exactly right. FCC is not listening in. So, yeah, so what I'm going to do is I will give you a call after the radio show and get your shipping address. And the reason why it was donkey today because I have my Hee-Haw shirt on that I bought at the Grand Ole Opry. It's got the Hee-Haw logo on it. So, hey, folks, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Bridget McRae, Ph.D., poultry scientist, tomorrow, Thursday. A great episode of Poultry Today with Dr. McRae, and tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you.